become aware of his presence, isn't it? And, you know, you can find his presence out there on Monday morning where you're at. Tuesday when you're in the store, Wednesday when you're at work, Thursday when you're here, wherever the case might be. His presence is always there, isn't it? Now, I know sometimes I might say, "Where are you, God?" And he would say, "What? I'm right here with you, Tim. You just don't notice it. You got to tune in. Be sensitive. Thank you, Lord." And he's there. Amen. I don't know how people in this life that's not part of his children and they're estranged from him and they're in the darkness. I just don't know how they make it through life. I've had this week a very busy week within that of the chaplain program for the PD of numerous call-outs. It's been a busy time, and I've come away from some that people have no connection to church, clergy, kind of offer up a prayer at this time. No. And it's like, wow. For whatever reason, they're going through a very traumatic time, and I would say, yes, let's pray. And it's neither here nor there. I mean, people are all different in their emotions of sadness and traumas. So I saw this past week, the gamut of this world, and when people go through tremendous stressors and hardships and sadness. But I'm so thankful that my God, and I'm so thankful that he's there for me, and he's there for you, amen, to help us through situations. And I just walk away from some of those, and I think sometimes, Lord, if somebody doesn't have some kind of a thread to hold on to in this life, how do they make it? And so we just continue to keep people in the lost area of the world out there in our prayers that the Lord continues to speak to them by that of the Spirit, and that it speaks in his word where the Spirit will woo them, talks to them, and makes that connection come alive. And then we get the benefit sometimes of coming across their path to share more of the things of God, and they're ready to hear that. And they receive it for whatever measure God has and how they want to place it within them. But anyway, we all have a mission to do. Amen? As I look out there, I see a lot of ministers. Minister of the gospel. We all are. And so we go forth every day. You never know what your life and what your path is going to come across. But be prepared. Amen? Be prepared. Thank you, Father. Well, it is. It's good to see those that are here, and I pray today that some of the scriptures and things we'll go through, it's a lot. We're not going to be able to cover all the scriptures and all that unless you guys would like to. Anybody pack a lunch? We might take a lunch break. But we'll try to touch upon this being Trinity Sunday. And there's so many things you can read about it and about this particular thought process of the triune God. But my heart, here again, there's people out in the religious fields and things out there that we call religious, and sometimes you get into, they're just in that oneness group, Jesus only. It's like, well, that's great, Jesus, but what about God? What? Well, Jesus is great, but what about the Holy Spirit? What? It's like, well, they're all three. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And God uses this to be able to speak to us and to show himself to us. And so as we look at Trinity Sunday, this is dangerous. When you get so many different directions here, and I got a couple of different thoughts here to go into, and that's not easy sometimes when you're up here trying to carry something. I want to make it very simple and very understanding. But we find out that the Trinity, threefold, Trinity, three, people's way of referring to the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. You can find that in Matthew 28:19. The Trinity, or the word Trinity, of course, you will not find it in the Bible. But there's a lot of allusions to it, and there's a lot of contexts of speaking of God, and Jesus, the Savior, and the Holy Spirit. So there is a combination within the scriptures of God's word of a triune experience. The Bible teaches that only one God works with his creation in the three persons of Father. And the Father is known as the Creator. We look at Son as the Savior. Amen. If it weren't for Jesus, where would we be? Amen. Jesus came to reconcile us back to God who created everything. And God loves his creation so much that he says, come back to me. And I've made a way for that through Jesus Christ. And I'm going to send into the flesh so that I've got an opportunity, or you've got an opportunity, to repent of your sins and to be forgiven and to reconcile you back to me. Oh, God, the Father, God is so good. Amen. So the Son is the Savior, and of course the Spirit Jesus spoke about, that I must go so he can come. When I read that many times in scriptures, I didn't quite understand that, but I figured out I've got to find out more about the Holy Spirit, and I've shared in the past. That's what kind of brought us from one church into this church many, many, many years back. Nothing negative or bad about where I came from. It's just those paths that God leads us on as we get deeper into his word, or deeper into the things that he is speaking to us personally. Amen. It's a personal interaction with myself and that of God. And when God spoke that, or through that of Jesus, and I said, Jesus, I want to follow. And if Jesus is speaking that he's got to go so the Holy Spirit can come, I've got to find out about the Holy Spirit. And so we find that as the Comforter. The Trinity shows God has personal relationships and expresses love with us. Isn't that good, that God expresses love to us? Now, we think of God, the Eternal One, without beginning and without end, God. He is characterized by his creative work, the grace of his loving mercy, his tolerance of sin, his forgiveness of people who turn from sin and trust him, and his guidance for quality living. Amen. Isn't that great to know, for quality living? Anybody know people out there, and maybe it was you before you received Christ? Was your living quality? Was it all that it could be? But I know with my God, he loves me, he cares for me, and he's got a plan for me. Does he have a plan for you as well? Yes. And we pray continually that we all find that path, that we all fulfill and go to what his plan has been and is for us. The way to come to know God the Father and God the Spirit is to come to know God the Son, which is who? Jesus Christ. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, all-loving. He's God. We step over into that of Jesus, our Savior. How many here needed a Savior? How many out there need a Savior? Everyone. We need to connect them to that of Jesus Christ so that they can be saved. Some of them don't even know what they need to be saved from, because the world, the god of this world, has blinded them so much they don't even know sometimes. It's like they're just out there. And a lot of them you speak to, they go, I guess this is all what life is about. Born, live, have hardships, problems, blah, blah, get beat up, and die, and go somewhere. But we can direct them. We can help them. We can share with them our testimony, the things that God the Father, through that of Jesus, now being guided by the Holy Spirit, the three in one, can minister into the hearts and lives of individuals. And it's not what I can do for them. It's what God has already done for them, that we are challenged with, that we are charged with the responsibilities of all being the ministers of the gospel, the good news. Jesus, our Savior, born to Mary. Jesus, the divine Son of God. He is God the Son. He is eternal. That means that he is what? Always with us and will always be with us. He existed and was active with God the Father in creation. And we can go back, and we're not going to have time to... There's a lot of references throughout the Bible of the Trinity, even back in that of the Old Testament. But in Genesis 1:1, everybody, I will probably get there, but I don't know if I'm going to jump ahead here. What, you know, it just starts out, what? 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You go on in Exodus where he says that I am, that I am, that I am. I am God. We find that Jesus lived a sinless life, suffered an agonizing death, provided salvation for mankind. And God raised Jesus from death to reign with him forever. What did he do? We experienced Pentecost. We found out Pentecost is 50 days after the resurrection, that he rose from the grave, ministered on this world or in this life for the 40 days, and then he was ascended into heaven. And wait, he says, wait. How hard is it for us to wait? We just shared that last week of Pentecost Sunday. And God and Jesus is telling us, and we tell our church ourselves, I, a pastor, whatever we are, that wait until you have the Holy Spirit to go out, because you're going to need power from up on high. And where does that power come from? From that of the Holy Spirit. Dunamis power that we all have or can receive if we will accept and believe and call upon that. And it all goes back into our very beginnings of faith. Everything I'm sharing today about the Trinity, everything I share about God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, all comes by what? Faith. You got to settle it in your heart that this is the true Word of God that I am to follow, that I am to trust, that I am to learn, that I am to bury within my very heart so that I know what I need to do, what I need to say, where I need to go, how I need to guard my life, how I need to help, how, whatever the case might be, to continue to help that of what God has planned for me to do. Sometimes it's hard for when a pastor looks out into the congregation to try to get it instilled in the people that are sitting in the seats that you too have a job to do for God. It's not just to come to church on Sunday to say hi, see how everybody's doing, let's go have coffee, and leave and go back to your normal life Monday through Friday, and then come back, or Monday through Saturday, and then come back on Sunday and do the church thing. It's just beholden to us, I should say, that we are in church, and we are the church, right? God's Word speaks of that. You don't have to go to the building. That's like when you go to somebody out in the world and you talk to them, they go, oh, I don't go to church. Well, I'm not talking about that. I want to find out where you're at with Jesus or with God. You know, what does God mean to you? What about your life? What about, you know, Jesus has come to help us reconcile us back to where God loves us so much. We go through the holidays. We go through the birth of Christ. We go through Easter, the death of Christ. We go through the resurrection Sunday, the resurrection of Christ. We go through Pentecost, that of the coming of the Holy Spirit. We go through all of these things, but they're not just things. They're the life of the church, amen? They're the things of what God was all about. We talk about Pentecost Sunday as that was really the birth of what we are doing today, the church. For as we are filled with that of the Holy Spirit, I'm so thankful. When you hear stories that say, you cannot bring the church into schools, you cannot bring the church into your job, you cannot do that. But I always say that as a child of God, the Word of God says that the church is within. The kingdom of God is within. And so when we got workers that go to the school district, the church is going to the school district. They're going to your jobs. They're going to wherever it is. As a child of God, you are there as a light. You are there as someone different. You're there proclaiming the kingdom. How fitting it is that each one of us here are little churches. We get into the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that I must go so that he can come. He goes and he comes so he can lead you into truth, guide you, encourage you, strengthen you. See, when Jesus was on this earth, he could only be at one place at one time doing one miracle. And now as he is gone and he is at the right hand of God the Father, and as we are filled with that of the Holy Spirit, greater things than what Jesus did, we will do too. And we can look at that, and there's all kinds of thought processes. It's because there's more of us or whatever the case is that we're going to do more than him. But we find with that of the power of the Holy Spirit in us that we can go and we can pray for individuals, that we have a power. It's not us, it's the power in us, through that of the Holy Spirit, God working within us, to pray for others. And for those that have a heavenly language called tongues, I find it very beneficial to me when I'm on a particular call sometimes that internally I'm speaking in tongues into my spirit to help me, Father, I do not know what to say. Anytime you go to a tragedy, you're going there saying, Lord, I'm just a mere man. Give me the things to say, the comfort, to do whatever I can do. And it's whether it's going to a call on a call out or if it's going to the hospital because someone's in the hospital. I don't want my desire to interfere with what God's desire or what his will is. And so I've got to pray. Not my will, but your will be done, God. I find that very beneficial, being filled with that of the Holy Spirit, that I can rest in that and knowing that it's coming on from God on high. And it's not me trying to make up the decision and trying to make the choices and trying to make sure what I want them to do or how I want them to be healed, that I turn them over to that of God and say, God, may you have your way, as I know you will. And even though your way is not my way, it says in your word, but I trust you by that of faith that the outcome of this person's life is in your hands. And I find it all I can do when people look at me in a situation and go, why did God do that? It's easy for me to answer and say, I don't know. I don't understand it either. It's sometimes bad to be a pastor. It's sometimes bad to go into some of these situations. They think you've got all the answers. They think that you got the one up with everybody, that God's got the direct line, and God is specifically saying, tell them, Tim, this. This is why this happened. Many times I throw my hands up inside my spirit, not to them, and going, I don't know. You're maintaining the demeanor. You're like, just, I can't answer that. I just don't know. But I always come back saying, but the God that I serve, I know is a loving, caring, merciful, graceful God. And I throw little things in there. They don't know they're getting scriptures, but I would say, and the word that I read from him says that his ways are not my ways. And so I have to trust him, even in difficult times that I don't understand. Life is hard. We want answers. Anytime you go out in this day and age and people are going through problems, we want answers right away. We want to know why. We want to know how come. We want everything down to the detail. And God is a detailed God, but God doesn't tell us the details. Amen? Remember, we had shared some time back, God doesn't say in his word, understand me. He says to trust me. Because we will never, in our finite little mind that we've got, understand anything and everything that God does. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, lives within all Christians to help them communicate God's truth to them. If we are not in more of a time of needed truth, it's in the days that I live in. And it's been like that since the beginning of time. But I'm just sensing it more and more as I get older, and I'm sure you as well. But I need truth. I need to know what's going on. There's a lot of lies and deceptions and dissensions out there. And I need to know the truth. I need to know the truth when people are sharing to me about things of God or some of their background or things that they want to try to have me understand with the things of God or where they're coming from. And we've got a lot out there, even in our church circles and denominational things, non-denominational things, independent things, whatever the case is, that we got a gamut of things being shared and taught out there. But if it's not truly coming out of that, of his word, be cautious and be aware. Just listen. But I believe by that of the Holy Spirit, he will protect us and guide us. And he may say, well, check that out, Tim. Or, that's right, Tim. And I'm not having all the answers. There's many times I hear a lot of good things. And I go, wow, I never thought of it that way. I need to think about that. And so it's not that we close ourselves off. We're open to these things, but we're open to these things being led by that of the Holy Spirit. But anyway, to help them, to communicate God's truth to them, convict them of sin, convince them that God's ways are right and comforts them when they are sad. We always want to try to change them. We always want to, you know, come in their sins and say, you sinner, you need to... People will just kind of put their heels in the dirt and not go any further when we begin to say, you need to do this. You need to do that. Because you know what? I bet I'm that same way. When somebody comes to me and says, Tim, you need to do this, I'm going to, wait a minute. You're not going to tell me what to do. But as we're led by that of the Spirit will say, Tim, listen to that brother. Listen to that sister. Whoever it may be. Sometimes you get advice that's good advice, even from people out in the world. Because, you know, God's Spirit is moving. It's everywhere. We also know the Holy Spirit to be called the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper. God sent the Holy Spirit to guide us after Jesus left earth. The Holy Spirit gives gifts and godly characteristics called the fruits of the Spirit. So that kind of ties into all that. Now, we can get in, and there's all kinds of scriptures within that area there, but I want to try to share a little bit here what I've put together today, being that of Trinity Sunday. It's man's ability to try to explain something that's really hard to explain. the clues written in Scripture to guide us to a fuller understanding of our triune God. They're all there. In the beginning, I said, throughout the Bible, there's multiple references to God. God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, Jesus. And we'll find some of these, I think, tied together. The doctrine of the Trinity means that within the being and activity of the one God, there are three distinct persons. In John 1:1, Jesus revealed himself as equal to the Father. The Father is God from the beginning, John 1:1. So we can turn there, but it's just going to be a short little burst of what that scripture is. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend. In the beginning, God. As we're in John, you could probably turn over to 10. John 10:30 says this. And this is speaking about how the shepherd knows his sheep. And Jesus is sharing through this. As he walks into the temple in Solomon's porch, the Jews surround him and they say, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." In verse 29, "My Father, who has given them to me, the greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Verse 30 says what? "I and my Father are one." In John 14:26, as Jesus is sharing, he continues to share with the people around him in that day. In 14:26, "The gifts of his peace," it starts out. The things in verse 25, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." That's another great benefit of the Holy Spirit. There are many things as we read scriptures, and I am not one to be able to memorize and know exactly this in scriptures and things of that nature. But I know them in my paraphrase. But I know that when things are spoken of or something that I'm thinking about, all of a sudden something comes back to me and go, "Oh, wait, there's a scripture that speaks to this." And that's the Spirit within us. And in these days that we live in, we're going to need more of that. Amen. To have that recalling ability, to recall these things that we have read, the things that God has spoke to us, that means so much in our walk with him. And as these days grow darker, we're going to have more communication, and it's going to be through that of the Holy Spirit continuing to drop and download stuff from God into our spirit, and as we have questions, he's there to help us. And Matthew, you don't have to turn there, but 28:19 says, "There, go therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." And we do baptisms here. We dunk them. We bring them up and say, "You know, you're putting them on in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, we baptize you in that name." So it's the three in one. We bring accountability, but we bring acknowledgement to that of God, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Paul's benediction in 2 Corinthians 13:14. "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." How do we go through life and sometimes, and how can we get to the point to say there is no triune God? It just speaks of Jesus only, or it's just God. And a lot of times we get into these things, and I am of no learned knowledge of understanding of a lot of this stuff, but it's things that are taught and all that, and they go, "Well, the Old Testament, God was there, but now it's not. And then Jesus was here in the New Testament," and we talk about being a New Testament church. But we have got to take every aspect of it talk about the full gospel, the good news, but the fullness of it. And we can't leave just a part or a parcel out. And sometimes we like to do parcels and bits here and there. But we've got to take it fully and completely to what God is speaking, what Jesus is sharing, what the Holy Spirit is doing, and how he is a part of our life. I don't know, I started out talking about, I don't know where I would be without that of my salvation and my relationship with that of my God. I would say that same thing. I don't know where I would be without my relationship with my Jesus. And then I go after that, I don't know where I would be without my relationship with the Holy Spirit. I've learned of God in seeing his actions in print and read. I followed the life of Jesus in my understanding of the Holy Spirit, because I need connection with my Heavenly Father. I need connections with Jesus. And the only way that comes about is by God's design of the Holy Spirit is now here. And he's with you. I believe in God's word where he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It comes to play quite a bit with that of the Holy Spirit in me, guiding me, being here with me, that he has not left me. Amen. Have you ever been in a situation to where you feel like it's just you, but that yet you feel there's something wrapped around you, and that you're not living that situation by yourself? And even if you're in a group of people, you can still feel like you're going through that situation by yourself. But with the Holy Spirit in your life, all of a sudden you have a sensing of a, oh, Father, I'm not alone. You're right here with me. And I believe it's through that of the Holy Spirit giving me a spirit hug. Anybody here like spirit hugs? You know, spirit high fives? Hey, fist bump the spirit? Hey, you know, whatever it is. But it's God's divine plan. I believe just like his divine plan and how he created this world, spoke it into existence, and just brought, you know, organization within that of chaos throughout the things of calling it all into being in the days of creation. His design from the beginning to the end. And he knows all of these things and that of his creation and that of God and that of the Holy Spirit. He knows all of those things with each and every one of your lives here today. He knew when you were born. He knows when he's calling us home. And I pray for all of us that it's a long, long life. Amen. But I believe when it comes time to go home, I'm trusting the God that says, Tim, it's time. Come. I hope I'm like 120, still functional. 120, you know, being wheeled around and all those other things that happens as you get older. I want to remain vibrant. I want to remain usable for that of God. No matter what age we are, we're always going to be sharing and ministering the gospel. Amen? We don't take time out. I've known many pastors that retire, and they're still busier than ever. Something that I relate to is a service. You're wanting to help people. Why did I get in to be a pastor? I don't know. It's too late now, but early on I was shaking my head. I said, why do I want to do this? Many times I told God I didn't go to school and train for this. I can't do it. Really, I was telling him I didn't want to do it, probably. But when he gets a hold of you to the point where he says, this is what I want for you, Tim. Will you follow me? Will you serve me? And when I got to that point in my life to where I said, God, I will do anything that you want me to do because I love you and I trust you. He says, well, quit your job and go to ministry. We've all been there, and I've told you all that story. But I love God so much that it turns out it's a calling that comes upon not everyone, but yet everyone is a minister of the gospel. But there are some that he gets called on that says, you need to come, and I want you to stand behind what we call a pulpit or some kind of a little stand, and I want you to proclaim my words to those that are out there, not because they're your words, not because of what you want to accomplish, not because of what you want to build, but I need voices out there to share, to encourage, to build up, to excite the people, and have some warm, fuzzy feelings, but also you've got to address your sin. And you've got to, you, me, I, Tim, got to address my sin. I, too, got to keep myself straight and level with that of God. I, too, as pastors, I'm sure we all go, Father, forgive me. I blew it. We as pastors are not above you as that of the assembly. We're all in this together. But we're to exhort. We're to stir up the gifts within us. And a lot of times when you're up here and I'm trying to stir your gift, it's stirring my gift. Amen. When I begin to give my testimony, hopefully it's catching on to somebody, and at least they're listening going, wow, that's interesting. But as I do my testimony, it's like it stirs up the gifts again. It stirs up that testimony within you. It takes you back to that time where God was calling you out. Or God did a tremendous thing in your life in a situation. It was a test. It was a difficult time. I know back in school, whenever I heard the word test, it was not a good day. Tests are not good. But it's through these testings and things that we find the power, the love, the strength, the desire, the things of God where he's with us. And so it's a calling upon us. And we continue to minister through that, really, of the Holy Spirit giving us the strength and the ability to go forth. Whether it's as a pastor and a thing of this, or whether it's you out there going through life, the Holy Spirit is there. We find in Scripture throughout the New Testament, speaking of the Father gives all authority to the Son, bears witness to himself as does Jesus to himself. You know, where John 18, you could just kind of just stay in John and just flip these things back and forth. Jesus was speaking in 8:18. It says, I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. And so we can go on and on, but you can go on and on in his word and find the references back to God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. I'll read this in John 12:49-50. It says this, Jesus claims himself as nothing for himself. He gives all glory. For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. Boy, that would help a lot of us right now. Lord, would you guide what I say and what I speak? And that's like, you know, I'm saying when you go to a situation and you don't know how to respond, that's a lot of my prayers. Lord, guide the conversation. You speak through me. And I know, here again, continuing in verse 50, John 12:50, and I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. So even when Jesus was alive and moving and ministering on this earth, the things that he spoke were not of his, right? It was all of God speaking through him. So it wasn't Jesus saying, hey, you know what? I've got something I want to say. And it just kind of hit me right off the wall. Da, 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 da. No. Everything that Jesus spoke was put into him by God the Father. I say nothing, I do nothing, except I hear or see my Father do. He even saw the things that his Father wanted him to do, right? That was that close relationship. Well, it was God anyway, God in the flesh. He kind of knew what was going on, but he was trying to bring that relevance to the people that he was with. As Jesus says, I don't say nothing or I don't do nothing that I don't hear or see my Father do. That shows the connectivity of the closeness of God and Jesus. The Father serves the Son serves the Father and Son defer to the Holy Spirit, who in turn serves and defers to the Father and Son. It's just like a perpetual going around in a thing, you know, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. The Trinity was at work in the incarnation of Jesus as he was conceived in the womb. We've heard that story back at Christmas. When he was baptized, he received approval from the Father and what? The presence of the Holy Spirit. Luke 3:21. We find out 3:21. He's being baptized by who? John baptizes Jesus. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was also baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in the bodily form like that of a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said this, You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Gets us back to that time when we all get called home, that we would stand before God and hope to hear these things. Well done, good and faithful servant. Kind of like what he just told that of Jesus. Amen. Woo, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And to wrap this up here, we're going to jump ahead. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Final greetings and the benediction. We're speaking here, and it says, finally, brethren, farewell, become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and the peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. And in verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. One other area here would be that of Ephesians. Ephesians 3. 14:21. 3:14:21. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. Know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. The fullness of God. My prayer today for all of us is to have that fullness of God. Amen. And truly to have that fullness of God is going to be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right now, today, Lord, I thank you, Father, for your Spirit. Lord, as it is resting upon us, amen. Hallelujah. Lord, there's been so much that could be shared with this relationship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it is like that of a thread throughout the Bible, from the very beginning of Genesis all the way through, Lord. How there is the Trinity. And we respect that. We honor that today in this as being Trinity Sunday. We thank you, Father God, for being God. We thank you for coming in that of flesh of Jesus, our Savior. And then, Lord, when Jesus was brought out of the grave, and after some time ascended back into the throne, or into heaven, Lord, at the right hand of you, when he was ascending, Lord, he told those around him not to do anything or to leave Jerusalem until that of the Holy Spirit came. And this very day, Lord, the Holy Spirit is here. I thank you, Lord, for your divine plan and purpose. I pray, Lord, that we're able to grasp it. And I pray now just an infilling and a continuing filling in our spirits of the Holy Spirit. Lord, so that we can hear your voice, be led by your voice, understand the truth, guard ourselves from that of deception, and that we walk out this life with power, power from upon high in each and every one of us. I pray, Lord, throughout this week coming up, that each one of us will experience something in a greater measure from you. I thank you, Lord, right now that as you hear the prayers and the petitions of your people, that you're there and the answer has been sent. And Father, we thank you for it even before we receive it, even before we see it come into existence, Lord, for I know that you hear our prayers. And I thank you, Father, that you take care of us in such a loving, caring way. We may not always know the answers of why some of these things happen, but we'll always know and understand that you are there with us to help us through, to bring us through it. That's the God that you are. That is our Creator. We thank you for it now, in Jesus' name. Amen.